I start by removing the blade from the handle, called a snaff. Then using emery paper or an abrasive rubber block, I sand the blade to clean it of any rust, leaving a dull matte finish. Before peening, I inspect the blade to see if there's any damage, particularly cracks which need repairing first. I'm using a small round file, a chainsaw file, to completely get rid of any cracks which would otherwise propagate further, either when peening or in use. A 10x magnifying glass helps me to thoroughly examine the edge. I then use a small flat file to remove any folds or burrs. Each time we use a stone on the blade, we remove a tiny bit of metal, progressively shortening the cutting edge. The profile thus gets fatter, becoming ever more difficult to obtain a sharp edge. This is why from time to time we need to hammer or peen the metal, effectively squashing it, until it is again thin enough to allow us to attain a sharp edge with a stone. There are two types of surface on the hammer, and there are different angles that we use, one flat surface and one pointed. The area we're going to peen is only 4mm wide. Our choice of flat hammer and bar peen anvil, or pointed bar peen hammer and flat anvil, determines which way up we hold the blade. The pointed bit hits the top of the blade in order to obtain the fox's snap profile that we're after. To get started easily, I thoroughly recommend a peening jig comprising a solid round base with a centre post and two different hats. When you set the jig into a hole in the wooden base, never tap on the central post, as you will deform it and render it unusable. In effect, we have a flat anvil, and each hat, which slides up and down on the post, acts as a bar peen hammer, so the blade is held facing upwards. It's necessary to keep the blade flat on the base in two senses, and I use my thighs to help maintain the correct angle. We guide the edge of the blade between the jig and the hat, hitting the hat rhythmically and uniformly as we advance the blade. It is easy to hear if the blade is truly flat on the base. Each hat has a different profile and must be used in order. The end effect is thus a stepped finish. While useful, the jig has its drawbacks, one of which is that the edge we are trying to sharpen rubs the central post of the jig, slightly blunting it. That said, I still reckon it's a great way to get started, and we can finish it off sharpening the very edge with some freehand peening or using a coarse stone. In order to succeed, one must fully concentrate and be in the moment, and in so doing it becomes less of a task of work, rather meditative, even pleasurable as you master it. Now for the stones. I have three, a coarse synthetic one and two natural ones, a medium and a fine, which are wetted before using them. Ouch, this is not how to do it. And now the right way. To begin, I position the stone carefully, and as my hand describes an arc, you'll see it's always moving away from the sharp edge. It is also possible to use the stone with the blade mounted in the snaff, which is how one would sharpen it when scything. I jam the end of the snaff into the ground and cradle the blade in my left arm, holding the back of the blade with my hand. I flex my hand to allow the stone to pass as I sharpen. Sharpening done, I remount the blade on the snaff. The angle between the blade and the snaff, called the hafting angle, is really important, both for your comfort and to avoid stressing, possibly even breaking the snaff. This is a point which is often incorrectly explained. The true pivot point is not the end of the snaff, but the first handle, which is why I've knocked a large nail into this post. Resting the handle on the nail, I rub the fat edge of the blade, called the beard, to mark the post. I then rotate the scythe until the point reaches the mark. For a blade of 75 centimeters here, the point should be 4 fingers below the mark. And for a blade of 65 centimeters, 3 fingers.